Hey guys, and welcome to our second underrated minisode. I'm Gabriel Green. I'm not alone this time. I got James Hamrick here with me. How you doing, James?
Doing really good. Really excited that I get to say good things about this movie.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it too. So we put out these minisodes to get a chance to talk about films that don't exactly fit into our underrated brand, but it allows us to get in on the fun of all these new releases. So today we'll be reviewing the 14th Marvel Cinematic Universe film, Doctor Strange. So what did you think about this movie, James?
I liked it a lot. I was kind of nervous going into it simply because it had all the makings of a movie that I was going to love and had a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was just so nervous that I was going to be a part of that 10% of people who don't like it for whatever reason. But I ended up loving it, so.
Yeah, I also hugely enjoyed it. I think the most successful aspect of this film, well, there are quite a few, but I think the casting is what really carries this movie. Benedict Cumberbatch is perfect in everything, and that continues on here. It's like a mix of Sherlock and Robert and Tony Stark in the character he plays, but it doesn't feel like a retread. It feels fresh, even though you can see the similarities to previous characters. It feels fresh. He's the smart, arrogant narcissist. I think he brings the character through a lot of range. You see him on top of the world in the beginning, and then he's like brought completely low, and I think he plays the broken character very well. And then as he learns the magic and kind of grows a soul and spine, I think all throughout I never once doubted his performance.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised with the direction they went with this character, because everything that I had heard about the movie prior was, he played Stephen Strange, like the summary, Stephen Strange is an arrogant blah 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 who gets into a car crash and must learn to whatever. He's always described as arrogant, and so as the movie started going, I was like, I'm actually kind of liking this character. Like, yeah, I get it. He's very narcissistic, and you can see how huge his ego is, but he's a likable character. And his comedic lines are just delivered perfectly, because Benedict Cumberbatch is just, like you said, plays every part to perfection. The lines of comedy that he does have, they don't feel, and this is a plus on the screenwriters, but they don't feel forced, like it's just somebody in a screenwriter's room who's decided that, like, oh, we need to interject a funny line here. They feel natural, and he delivers them naturally. It's just a really good performance all around.
Yeah, and for some of the other cast, I think Tilda Swinton she's legitimately great here. It's just a really lovely, subtle performance she's putting on as this incredibly powerful character who's also humble and may have some really dark secrets. I loved her character.
Yeah, that she's actually one of the biggest positives I have to say about this movie, and probably the biggest surprise for me, because I'm not surprised at all that I love Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm not surprised at all because of the trailers that I love the visuals. But Tilda Swinton is one of my favorite aspects of this movie. I know there's a lot of controversy around her casting, but when I think about a movie, I try to think about that movie as if it exists in a vacuum. Like, apart from the controversy, apart from what people are saying was, who should have been cast or whatever, just judging the performance on its own merit, she is fantastic in the role. And like you said, it's a subtle performance. Just, she does so much just with, like, glances and slight changes in her face, just looks that she gives people. And there's just something very endearing about her character. She has all of this power, yet she is humble, like you said. And then, is this going to be a spoiler episode?
I would say let's try to keep it spoiler free.
Okay. Well,
or at least up until the very end. If you need to mention something, after we'll do that after we've gotten everything else out of the way.
Okay. So this may be something to mention later, but she has just one scene in particular. I think she just does so well, and it's essentially the scene where they drive home the point of the movie, and every line of dialogue. Even the scenes that she's in where she's not even having a lot of lines of dialogue, just her face, she is perfect in this movie.
Yeah, there's a great warmth to her character, almost like a grandmother, but she's also not as in like an old, but there's like a great, like, endearing warmth to her.
Mm-hmm.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think he's one of the best actors out there. So he's obviously great. I'm a little conflicted on his character. I'm not going to spoil it, but I think some of the things that happen to his character later on feel a little out of the blue, but because he's playing it, it all works. Like, within inside the movie, it all works really well. He has some really great scenes.
Yeah, I think he plays the part to perfection. I think that you can... His character may be a little bit predictable to me, but that's nothing against the actor. I think the actor did... I'm not going to try to say his name. I would just butcher it. But he is, like you said, he is a phenomenal actor. And so, yeah, he did really well in the role.
Yeah, he plays this like character of like unshakable conviction. And I think there's a scene like in the low point at the end of the second act where he's arguing with Strange's character, and it is fantastic. And then the last one of the cast I'm going to mention is Rachel McAdams. She doesn't have a lot to do in this film. She's been in about 4 or 5 scenes, but she is really, really good. I mean, it's strange because her performance is both incredibly dramatic in two of the scenes, and then the other scenes is like very humorous. She kind of plays both sides of the spectrum in her limited screen time. And I think she might have been the character that I actually emotionally connected with the most in this entire film. Just how she is kind of a semi-love interest for Strange, but she also doesn't put up with his stupidity at all. She will call him out and cut him down whenever he acts like an utter scumbag, which is a couple times throughout the film. And I really liked kind of the inner strength of her character and what she brought to his character. I think it is almost, in a way, the heart of the film.
Yeah, I think she did really well in the role. My only complaint about the character, and this is absolutely nothing to do with Rachel McAdams, is her acceptance of all of that just happened way too fast for me.
Well, he was dying, so you kind of had to move fast.
I get why she had to move fast. it seemed like she just accepted it, like, in her mind as, this is real, this is what's happening. And, like, came to terms with it really quickly. Like, he says, I'm dying. And she's like, oh, right. And she just instantly goes back. And then she starts doubting him when he's saying, I got to go off and do this and do that. She's like, mm-hmm, I'm sure. I'm like, you just saw his soul come out of his body. I would be like, oh, my goodness, are you really? I wouldn't be like, oh, sure, you are, Doctor Strange. But other than that, I think she was really good in the role. I think the scene where she comes and speaks with Stephen Strange after the car crash and he's in his apartment is one of the best dramatic scenes in this movie, and really in several of the MCU movies. Both actors are really playing their parts really well, and it feels very natural. Like, even though it happens somewhat near the very beginning of the movie, they really kind of sell you on the idea of this relationship. It's had, you know, like, they've known each other for a while. This is a big deal that they're arguing over this, and she just does really well in that moment. Another one of the positives that I wanted to mention was, I mean, probably I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I think everybody can just agree on this. The visuals are fantastic for this movie. They're so creative. The chase scene, as the catwalks are getting moved around all over the place and the buildings are just floating on each other and the city's essentially just become a Rubik's Cube that's being moved around. It's so entertaining to watch on a big screen. I think the action scenes, I think, could use some work. I think it's unfortunate that the actual choreography, well, not even really the choreography, I think for the most part that's even pretty good. Just the camera work isn't as good as what it's filming. But it's a minor slight.
Yeah, I don't think it's like actively bad, but I think, especially in the midpoint fight in the first sanctum, I think you can tell it's a very creative fight. There's a lot of cool stuff happening, but the camera is just a bit too close, and there's the magic creates a lot of sparks. So there's constantly sparks flying, and it's difficult to follow, but it is a very creative action scene. And I think all of the action scenes throughout the film are very creative. And about like the scene you were talking about, the chase scene through the it's like a kaleidoscope with people jumping around inside trying to fight each other. And I mean, I have a hard time imagining what kind of mind it would take to come up with all this crazy stuff happening. I mean, Scott Derrickson, he's got to be a visual genius or something, because that sequence is brilliant. And I think like there, where he lets the camera pull back, the action is a lot better than in some of the close quarter scenes. But I really have nothing bad to say about the visuals on any level. I think the even not even talking about like the mirror dimension, just the visualization of magic and how the rules of the world are set up. We aren't given a lot of information about how magic works, but I think they set us up and give us rules here and there to where we follow along. And when they do stuff, we understand what's going on. And so we're never like left behind in the dust whenever they do something different. I think it's very deft and clever in how it sets up this world and the rules.
Yeah. About what you said, just with the visualization of magic, that was something else that I really like, because just the idea of like kind of drawing these magical lines with your fingers and in the air on paper, it sounds like it's going to come off as super cheesy, but it works so well in the movie.
Yeah, I was kind of worried watching the trailers because some of the stuff looked really goofy, but I think it does work in the film in context. And another thing for me that worked here that usually falters in a lot of Marvel or DC films is like the third act climax. Quite often it comes off just as a generic, city's in danger, we have to fight this bad guy to stop it, there's a giant blue beam in the sky, we gotta destroy it. And for about a minute, I thought that was what was gonna happen. You have the giant beam with a dimension coming through, it looked like every other superhero climax. But then they do something really creative that I never in a million years thought would happen. And they just turned it on its head, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I really love how they resolve the conflict in this film. I think it's very creative, and it really turns some of the annoying tropes on its head.
Everything you just said is exactly the thought process I went through watching this movie, because when the scene starts, I'm thinking, oh, I mean, this has been fun. This will probably be a fun scene. And it's so good. What they do is just so well done. And in my mind, I remember thinking, like, that's what I needed for this movie to really put itself above a lot of the other superhero movies, is to set itself apart in this way. Because, you know, it's the 14th in a series, you know. I absolutely do not think that superhero fatigue is setting in, at least not for me. But I do hope to see, you know, superhero movies trying different things. And the fact that it really changed up kind of the third act that kind of bogs down a lot of other movies, the way it did, it was really good.
Yeah, and I am still kind of in shock at how well it pulled itself off, because what happens there is incredibly dense and nerdy and just convoluted. But just because of how well they had set up the rules in a way that didn't feel like it was set up, I never once doubted what was happening. I'm still kind of confused about how well that worked, even though how complicated it is. I just think the rules are set up so well that it never bothered me.
One of the things that I actually enjoyed about this movie was the character of Calcilius. I think I'm saying that right. I think he's still underdeveloped. It's just unfortunately been a very common theme with the MCU movies. But amidst all these underdeveloped villains, I think he sets himself apart a little bit more. One, just because Mads Mikkelsen is a phenomenal actor. I get excited anytime I see he's in anything. I think he's one of the best Bond villains we've ever had. I think of him before I think of Anthony Hopkins when I think of Hannibal because of the show. And I just love this actor. And so even though he's not given as much as I would like a villain to be given, he has a few really good scenes. He's got a really funny line about Doctor Strange's name. So he like his humor works well when it's there, but his motivation, even though it's kind of cliche, j- just because of how good of an actor he is, he sells it. Like, on the scene where he's talking to Strange about it, I believed him 100%. So, yeah, even though my complaint is still that they really need to develop their villains more, at least Mads Mikkelsen was really able to do something with what he had.
Yeah, I think for me the villain is it's a negative, but nothing that I have against the characters at all. The responsibility of Mads Mikkelsen, he is fantastic in his three scenes.
Yeah,
because I think he's not a bad villain. He does his job, but he would go along with a dozen other Marvel villains that I really couldn't care less about and have forgotten about already, kind of thing. So it's not his fault, but it's mainly the script's fault because his character isn't there. So, yeah. And another a minor issue for me is that I never really emotionally connected with this film. As I said, I think the only character I really deeply connected with, or not even deeply, I connected with at all, was Rachel McAdams. Because the character of Doctor Strange, I don't think it's the fault of Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he plays all the scenes well, and I believe them in the moment. But as the film's going, I don't care about his character a lot. And I think also it's because I think he's kind of the definition of a Mary Sue. No internet. Ray is not a Mary Sue. This guy is. He learns and masters these powers just way too fast. And it's fun and engaging as the montages are happening, but it just happens too fast, and he doesn't quite feel like a real human being. He feels like Sherlock, kind of a high-functioning sociopath, to where I couldn't connect with him. I love the character, I love everything he's in, but I didn't care that much.
Yeah, I didn't get that so much. I feel like I connected him in the same way that I connected with a lot of the superheroes, you know, the same amount I cared about Ant-Man, or the same that I cared about, like, Thor. Or, you know, I feel like Iron Man and Captain America have just been developed and fleshed out way more, and I feel way more emotionally invested in these characters. So this felt kind of par for the course for me.
Yeah, I think the issue is he doesn't have his Watson. He doesn't have his Rhodey. He has like three or four different sidekicks in different scenes, but we don't know those characters any better than we know him. So we need that human character to hold him back, to call him out, and I think that element is just missing. It's there when Rachel McAdams is there, and when he's with her character, I care about him, but he's not with her often. And so it is a minor thing as far as when you have a film that is this fun, a character that is this enjoyable to be with, it's minor, but it does bring the film down a couple notches because of how much I do care about a lot of the other MCU characters. To not be deeply connected to him is a little bit of a disappointment.
So before I kind of get into just a few, because I don't really have a whole lot of stuff that I disliked about the movie, but one of the last things that I wanted to mention was this movie ended up being a lot deeper than I thought it was going to be, just with some of its themes. The central idea essentially just being summed up in the sentence, you know, it's not about you. I felt like, you know, a lot of these superhero movies are about them going on the hero's journey and becoming a better person, but they all feel like they're all learning the same lesson. And a lot of the times it is essentially, you know, oh, the idea that it's not about you and that there are bigger things out there. But I feel like a lot of the times it's done very generically, whereas here, whenever he's learning this and whenever he ultimately like feels like he learns this lesson, it really connected with me. I just think it was really well done. And the idea of there being more to the world than things you can see is just, it explored a lot of things that I did not expect to come from. I just thought it was going to be a fun summer action movie. And even though it definitely was that, it also was a bit deeper and more dense than a lot of them tend to be. And then just, it's really great addition to the MCU in terms of lore. Like, the idea that these are like the mystical Avengers, essentially protecting the world from the mystical enemies. It's just really cool to see these continued layers to the MCU.
Yeah, and another positive I forgot to mention is I think this film's script is really tight. There's very little fat. I think a lot of the other MCU films, the plot is just a little messy because there's too many subplots and sometimes certain things that happen don't exactly follow from what happened before. But I really like this one. I think the way they tell his character, I think how he goes from this selfish, this self-obsessed man to the hero he needs to be, is that they tell his character's arc through action. And I think that's a really fascinating thing, where his pride and self and desire for self-preservation carries him into the action scenes. But through the action scenes, he learns to care about these other characters around him that he has to protect. And I think it's a very interesting way of telling a character's story rather than having a lot of long dialogue scenes where he has to do a lot of soul searching. I think it's a very effective way of telling his character's story, and we see the growth. And I think the scene where he has the major conversation with Tilda Swinton's character, the Ancient One, and where he finally kind of is resolved to pursue this quest, I think it really works in the moment. I think because they're both so good, and I think he sells the character's change, and it doesn't feel awkward. It feels completely natural, and the script and the overall plot. I think there's a great cause and effect. Everything leads into the next scene. There's no lag. It's never boring. It's always moving. And while that can hurt as far as trying to connect with the characters, just as a piece of film structure and story structure, I think it's one of the tighter Marvel films.
Yeah, it definitely feels very focused. It's a single plot. You follow it, and I mean, like you said, I guess the best word to describe it is what you use. Just it's a very tight movie. So I don't really have a whole lot more negatives about it. I just have a couple things, and really the first one, I feel like I'm breaking a rule that I mentioned that I had earlier, and that I try to look at a movie as if it exists in a vacuum. But that can only go so far. I feel like with it being the 14th one, you can start to kind of see a Marvel formula. I feel like this movie does a better job than some of the others to kind of transcend that formula and do things differently. Like what we talked about, where it turns the third act kind of on its head the way it does it. But just kind of like you have here, let's establish this character, here's the inciting incident that causes him to change, here's the hero's journey, here's the villain. Like, it follows the same basic formula, and unfortunately one of the elements of that formula is just a lot of humor. And I have nothing against humor, but to me, whenever you feel the need to constantly put humor in it, naturally, sometimes it's not going to land. And so, while I think the humor worked for most of this movie, there were a couple scenes that didn't work necessarily. One of the comedic beats with the character of Wong, you can tell it was supposed to get a big laugh, and at least with my showing.
Which one? Where he laughs in the end?
Yeah.
Okay, I love that scene.
I feel like I would have liked that scene if it was maybe done a little bit more subtly. But I feel like it was done a little bit too over the top to where, I don't know, it just didn't really work with me that well. I've only seen it once, so I can't really think of a lot off the top of my head, but I just remember there being a handful of a small, you know, albeit small handful of moments that were supposed to be funny that just didn't quite work with me.
There were two scenes in particular, both involving his cape of levitation, which is a fantastic character in the film. It's hilarious. But after each of the two most dramatic scenes in the film, they can't let it rest. They have to undermine it with a joke involving the cape. Happens twice in the two powerful scenes of the film. And that did irritate me a little bit. I think a better film would have allowed these dramatic moments to just play out instead of having to... It feels like some of these directors aren't confident enough, or maybe it's the studio, I'm not sure, but they feel like they have to just break the tension or break the mood. And I don't think it needs to do that. And so, but otherwise, it's a funny film. This film is very funny. This character is strange. A lot of the side characters are good. And so I'm not really complaining about humor in general. It's just a couple scenes where they undermine the dramatic moments with it.
Yeah, I can think of one of the moments with the cape you're talking about. It's funny. It's just kind of like what you said. It's hot off the heels of a really dramatic and really well done moment. And so it kind of undermines what we had just seen. I have one last complaint, and I was kind of on the fence about whether to talk about this since we're trying to keep this more subtle, spoiler-free, but this is towards the end of the episode. This is kind of a spoiler, but not really, just because there's already been so many memes made about the character already, and I feel like he's already revealed to be in it early on. So the character of Dormammu is in the movie, and I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't dislike what they do with the character. So whenever I say I'm not a fan, I mean I'm not a fan of him visually. The CGI used to make him, to me, just really stands out from the rest of the movie. I feel like just aesthetically, the way, like the geometry of him and the CGI used together, it just feels like it belongs more in like a really high quality Disney animated film. I don't know. In a movie whose visuals just are so perfect and everything else, I just feel like he's kind of subpar.
I didn't have an issue with him. It does take place in a giant purple gaseous space, so that might be why. I felt like the way his face moved and fluctuated was creative and interesting, and I like what he brought out of the character Strange and their interaction. And yeah, he's not there much, and his character doesn't actually have a lot of effect on the story or plot, he does have a lot of effect, but he doesn't do much. But I enjoyed their interaction. I think he felt powerful and scary when he needed to be, and I don't think the film required him to do much, so it didn't bother me at all.
I think the fact that the film didn't require him to do much is also kind of a slight negative, given that Dormammu is kind of like the bad guy for Doctor Strange, and so to just have Dormammu show up at the end, I mean, they don't imply that this is the last we see of him. It's just to kind of... He feels tacked on the end, I guess.
You got to admit the way they take care of him is awesome.
The way they take care of him is cool. It kind of, I feel like, breaks its own rules in the way that they take care of him. But it's a really fun sequence, the way everything happens. But yeah, that's really the last thing I had to say in terms of what I thought about it negatively. Was just not a fan of his design choice. So if they bring him back for future movies, given that he's this big cosmic being, I think they could justify maybe a change in design, and I wouldn't mind that.
All right, so it looks like we both really enjoyed this movie. For me, I think it was very fun. The humor is great. It has a tight plot, and for me, I don't ask that a film be original. I think that's absurd to ask of any story or any kind of media. I think a film simply needs to play out whichever tropes it chooses to follow, and just earn its emotion, earn its humor, and earn its story arc. And as far as that, I think the film almost completely it succeeds on that level. And I think the craftsmanship of the script is mostly very solid. So, and where, even though I don't think this film is one of the best Marvel films, I didn't care as much as I did in some other ones. I think it sits very comfortably right in the middle of the franchise, and that's saying a lot, because I like every film that they've made to a certain extent.
Yeah, for me, I I'd made a list of the way, the, I guess, of my rank of all of the MCU movies, and I haven't gone back to look at it now that I've seen Doctor Strange, and I feel like I would probably put it at the bottom half of the upper half. Like, it's it's in the better, if you were to split them all in half, it'd be in the group of the better seven, but probably, I guess, towards the bottom of that. Just because there have been so many good ones that have come before. This is an origin story. It's introducing a character to a world that's already very largely established, and, you know, it really didn't have a chance. Like, it was going to have to do some incredible things to try to place itself among, like, the very best. So the fact that it's not in the top three is by no means an insult. Like you said, it's in a good standing. Whenever all of them are good, there's really no place to be that's really bad.
Yeah, I think I put it really comfortably around, like, Ant-Man and Iron Man 3, which I think are both very entertaining Marvel films, so there's no shame in that. All right, actually, since you did call spoilers, what did you think of what they did with Chiwetel Ejiofor?
I knew that was what where they were going with the character, because I tried to do a little amount of research on Doctor Strange, so I knew that was where the character of Mordo was going. I feel like, kind of, to reiterate what you were saying, it did kind of come out of the blue, but I also feel like they have a chance of explaining that in a sequel, because he just kind of gives a one-sentence explanation for all of this, and it's a very interesting and intriguing sentence. Like, when he says, since we called spoilers, you know, there's too many sorcerers in the world, that's the problem. The way he decides to carry out whatever mission he decides to carry out, I'm very intrigued to see where it goes. It seems really weird that he would live what I'm assuming, since he's a master, he's been a good guy for years. He's been following the teaching for a while. And so the fact that all it would take is to find out that the Ancient One tapped into some of the dark power to set him on this path where he would re-cripple this man.
Well, also, Doctor Strange broke space-time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Even still, we're told that this is just a good guy, that he had a harsh life initially, and that he came to her, and he learned to deal with his demons, and he's a morally upright person. And then this happens, and all of a sudden, he's kind of set up to be the villain going forward. It's not the first time, like, the good guy in a movie becomes the bad guy later on. It's just, it feels like the movie made a lot of effort in making us feel like this was going to be Doctor Strange's moral compass, and then to just not even hint at him being a bad guy and then be like, oh, he's probably the bad guy now. It felt unearned.
Yeah, I think maybe with a lesser actor I would have disliked it more, but as it is, it's only a minor gripe because he is so good. I mean, there's like, his face is so sad. It's just his eyes, so these big puppy dog eyes, it looks so sad, and I think he just plays the moral conflict so well that even though I think the character is slightly underwritten, I believe it when he's talking.
Yeah, it's definitely a minor complaint, and it feels weird to even say it's a complaint, because after he does give his line, I am excited to see what they do going forward. Like, is he gonna, like, try to recruit a small handful of other sorcerers to essentially just try to go and track down all of the remaining sorcerers until, like, where they go in the sequel could be really interesting, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I've seen him play villains before, and I like it, so I'm very interested to see what they do with him. Alright, is there anything else you want to mention?
Not a whole lot. I'm really pleased that I like this movie. I'm also really pleased, again, spoilers, so you're forewarned, I'm really excited that it seems like he may have some sort of involvement in Ragnarok. That's a really exciting notion.
Oh, yeah.
So,
he's officially cast.
Oh, I did not know that. So, there. that's, like I said earlier, this adds to the lore of the MCU. It's another layer. It's a really great addition, so I'm very pleased, and you should all go out and see it in the theaters because it's worth seeing it.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not see it in 3D, unfortunately.
Neither did I. Yeah, I generally avoid it. I thought about it, but I didn't want to risk a bad screening, so yeah. So that's our review of Doctor Strange. I hope you enjoyed this minisode, and if you did, I'd like to ask you to go rate and review us on iTunes, and like us on Facebook. We love interacting with you on the page. Feel free to comment with any suggestions you would like to see a minisode or a full episode on. We'll definitely read them. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed our Doctor Strange minisode, and we will see you later.
See ya.